And it is 7 a.m. in the West Coast, and it is 10 a.m. in the East Coast. It is 5 p.m. in Jerusalem, Israel, the Holy Land. Today is August 9, 2015, and this is Orly Benny Davis with the Davis with the Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are going to talk about what's going on around the globe, of course, and what's going on in Israel. And we're going to use some Israeli music to give you the atmosphere of how Israel lives. And I promise to give you some sound bites of what interests me or what's in the news to keep you going, because last week was an incredible week. We had a presidential debate. We had, you know, that all the world is listening. We had some comments and some conference call about the Iran deal. We have some news revelation about what's going to happen in September coming from the Christian believers. And this all evolved, you know, in the last few days to something amazing. Like, you know, when you feel, when there is a movement of some sort in one direction, you know that something is going on. And let's start with that. I'm having, you know, a few conversations lately, and I'm getting to talk, and I'm getting some information and tapped by a few people. And of course, I love everybody and I welcome everybody. So I'm listening, and one thing came to mind. I ran into the Friends of Israel, you know, a president of the nonprofit organization, Yechiel, which is one of the most amazing guys. And I was saying, Christians, the friendship with the Christians, and me, I'm not in that nonprofit organization, but of course it makes sense because I'm friends of everybody. So sure enough, something will come up. Before I know it, it's like the flood. Everything is coming up. We're getting a nonprofit organization asking me to join helping them with, you know, helping the soldier, the Christian soldier in the IDF. And, of course, I'm getting invited with my Christian friend, which is fantastic. He's been on the show before, Michael Gonneau. And I meet other Christian people. And sure enough, I'm listening to some Christian, you know, believers, and they all think that there is something going on. And after that, I'm having dinner with people, and they're saying that, you know, the Christians are declaring the Messiah already. There is on the ground a Messiah declaring himself a Christian, that he is it. Okay. Well, we don't know about it. I don't know if the government of Israel is aware what we should do, if somebody is aware of this sort. And what about our believers? We have a Messiah, right? This is, you know, the Jewish people have a Messiah too. Is it going to be the same Messiah? The only thing is, there is a massive movement right now of believers in one direction. But they have, like, you know, a list of things that must happen. First of all, the disaster. They want to, you know, the whole world should break loose. And why? Excuse me, if the Messiah arrives, why? It should be the opposite. Everybody is going to get along. Nobody is going to fight. It means like paradise. Now we can actually party. We can have a life. No, I've been working day in, day out to prevent global collapse, because never again is like embedded in us. And when we talk about the Holocaust, it hurts to the bone. And we want to make sure that people understand us. We work with the children from day and now to teach the other children, you know, they love us, to how to love us and what's the difference. And if we're smart, it's not our fault. If we're supposed to do something, we have our own routine that we need to work. We work hard, just never again, should never come. And then they say, you know, the Messiah will explode everything. No, it's not true. It's impossible. It's not in the plan. The plan is not like this. Now, you choose, the idea is to choose the right plan, right? when you go to have a medical plan, what in America, it's really great because you have the HMOs and you have the PBO, whatever there is, you have, and then you get it, you sit down and you said, okay, now you have a plan. You want to go to the doctor, pay nothing, you got to pay the doctor. If you want to go to the doctor, you pay a copay, then you pay a lot of money for a prescription drug, then you maybe 80% from the bill will be covered for you. Then all the rest. There is plan. You choose and you pick. Now, in our belief system in the world, we have beliefs. We have people that say, don't touch the animal because, you know, they were your grandfather once. There are people that talk about God that, you know, it will came in disastrous way. There are people who said, oh, you have to kill for God. You know, this is the way you are. You know, this is the way. And there are people like me. Hey, I read Isaiah. I stick it to that book. I want to stick to that book. I want to. Everybody is in kumbaya. That's my routine. I don't know what are you guys. So no war, no fighting. We're going to have a lot of business going on. We're going to share all these spaces together, and we're going to have one holiness in one place, and we are going to say thanks to God. I don't know about mixed marriages. Okay, let's not talk about that. I'm not trading. To say that we're not gonna mix, no mixing, okay? Let's forget that. But everybody together, that's all. Now, the organization in Jordan wants to be friends, you know, if Christian or Muslim, it's fine. Let's be friends. Now, what are we gonna do? But I want some action. Now, what about the government? Are they introducing? Is the government in the world right now? Okay, I'm talking in the world because looking at the pages of the newspaper, you see some picture of the devastation that's going around the Middle East. You know that there is no government anywhere there, right? So the world needs to decide who is going to lead that. Now, let's assume you give us the responsibility. Why not? You know, we are in the area. Like you're calling a friend and said, hey, we're here. Call upon us. What do you need? We're going to take care of this one and this one business. We're going to facilitate the construction. Gaza got $5 billion and said they're going to develop more tunnels to expose some people, and the ISIS is going to come and turn, and all the Bedouin going to get kidnapped by those ISIS and get, corroded by them. Give us the plan. We'll execute that. We're a general contractor. We don't want the old money. You'll pay for us. That's all. What's the big deal? You know, you build one side and another, because we need to build this area. Because you look at the picture. They're all destroyed. The whole area is destroyed. Now, I learned that there is... we're going to the news part, because, of course, I can't hold myself up. Talking about one thing without getting to the news. But the truth of the matter, let's go back to the fact. The message is that God will give us devastation before He give us the redemption. I think we've been through devastation enough. Okay, let's conclude that those 7 years are over. 2008, collapse of the economy in America, started the old routine. We are 7 years off to the day. All right, it's over. That's it. Let's start the 7 good years, because it's up to us. You know, if we want to fight it or we want to love it, it's up to us. But we need to make sure that we get some people to do good. Now, world government is going to be in charge of this, because. And not the United Nations. United Nations is in charge of harassing people, harassing Israel all day long. It's like, would they have anything else? And they left Africa. Maybe they're helping some refugees camp, yes. Anybody got a report from the United Nations lately? It's the United Nations gives an annual speech. That's what we're doing for the world. from their perspective, not everybody that comes to come and what's the problem with them. I want to know what the United Nations, why are we spending so much money? So having said that, I know for a fact that my version of Kumbaya is much nicer than all the U.S. that wants to kill each other in the process and eliminate it, you know, that to whatever. Come on. We need some Kumbaya. We should try it. It might work. Don't promise you, but it might work. Let's get to a break, and then we're going to have some information about the news. All right?
אני רואה אותה בדרך לגימנסיה עם הילקוט ובתלבושת אחידה בעוד שנה כבר לא תהיה יותר ילדה אני חושב שבשבילי
And that was Arik Einstein, one of the classical, God bless his soul, was a singer, the coolest guy to represent Israel with all her best colors. Tel Aviv, you know, in his glasses, always looked great. Anyway, now let's go to some the debate routine that we had. We had Donald Trump talking to Megyn Kelly. Let's listen to this.
Mr. Trump, one of the things people love about you is you speak your mind and you don't use a politician's filter. However, that is not without its downsides, in particular when it comes to women. You've called women you don't like fat pigs, dogs, slobs, and disgusting animals. Your Twitter account
is only Rosie several... O'Donnell.
No, it wasn't. Your Twitter account?
Thank you.
For the record, it was well beyond Rosie O'Donnell.
Yes, I'm sure it was.
Your Twitter account has several disparaging comments about women's looks. You once told a contestant on Celebrity Apprentice it would be a pretty picture to see her on her knees. Does that sound to you like the temperament of a man we should elect as president? And how will you answer the charge from Hillary Clinton, who is likely to be the Democratic nominee, that you are part of the war on women?
I think the big problem this country has is being politically correct. I've been challenged by so many people, and I don't frankly have time for total political correctness. And to be honest with you, this country doesn't have time either. This country is in big trouble. We don't win anymore. We lose to China. We lose to Mexico, both in trade and at the border. We lose to everybody. And frankly, what I say, and oftentimes it's fun, it's kidding, we have a good time. What I say is what I say. And honestly, Megan, if you don't like it, I'm sorry. I've been very nice to you, although I could probably maybe not be based on the way you have treated me, but I wouldn't do that. But you know what? We need strength, we need energy, we need quickness, and we need brain in this country to turn it around. That I can tell you right now.
And we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis on BBS Radio with The Impossible Truth. This is Sunday show with Israeli music. And we had Donald Trump against Megyn Kelly on Fox debate. And let's say something. By all means, Mrs. Kelly, she's a gracious, gracious lady. One of the best hosts, you know, you could have at the political debate. To treat her like that, and also to actually threaten her like that, I'm so sorry, Donald Trump. But what you were thinking? Do you think that you would threaten American women American women invented liberation. The American woman's spirit is there free of bullying. And you are bullying a woman on prime time, the first debate? You made a mockery out of yourself, sir. And I know that you know, I'm a woman, so whatever you want, I don't even pass your radar level because you're $8 billion, sir. You know, they're too much for the world to handle. And of course, you don't have time for us, because you want to be a president of the leader of the free world on our time, but you don't have a time for this. To be a political correct, you have no time. Darling, politics is correctness. And if you have nothing about it, you have nothing to do there. As far as I'm concerned, you are Trojan horse in midst of all this, because you are. You are trying to bully the debate. You won the track, and you lost it. Listen, you lost a lot of respect of American people and American women. They didn't like it. And I'm so sorry, but I didn't like it, even that I like you. Yeah, I like you. But I'll tell you in your face what you think, the same way you are. I can do it. I'm news. You want to be the president. Let's get to another one that we have on Donald Trump. We are going to just...
Congratulations, you've reached Donald Trump.
Oh, Gawker was right. This really is your number. Payback is a bitch.
Hello, Barack.
Look, I know you skipped the Republican forum tonight,
but... That's right.
Well, you got the debate coming up this week,
It's a big debate. It's huge.
Well, I thought I'd give you a call and give you some advice.
I don't understand. Why would you want to help me become president?
Because it'd be hilarious. Look, I've been president for 8 years. I'm ready for some entertainment. I just want to grab some popcorn, sit back, and watch this whole show go down.
Yes, thank you. I am great and very rich.
Now, look, there's certain rules that you have to follow with these debates. First of all, look, each candidate has an allotted amount of time to speak without being interrupted. So if someone else is talking, you can't just jump in.
Yeah, I got it. 8.3 billion, 0.98 million.
That's another thing right there. Look, you can't just throw around numbers that don't make any sense.
I understand, but 3.2 billion disagree.
Where did you get that number from?
From 9 trillion. And believe me, that's 140% true, or your name isn't Barack Hussein Omarosa.
Okay. All right. Look, Donald, the reason I called is people are talking smack about you, all right? Don't you care about the way you're portrayed in the media?
The media loves me. They try to act like they don't, but they do. They say they're done. They say they've had enough, but yet they keep coming back for more. They're like Chris Christie at a Golden Corral buffet.
Oh, snap. Snap, crackle, and pop.
By the way, those are the same sounds it makes when Chris Christie sits on an old wooden chair. Snap, crackle, and pop.
Oh, now you double dipped. You double dipped on the Christie chip. Back up. Look. Let's get back on track now, okay? Let me hit you with a sample debate question, all
perfect.
Right?
Perfect. Go ahead.
All right, here we go. Now, how are you going to deal with immigration?
Build a giant wall.
Okay. What about the economy?
Build a giant wall.
Education?
Wall.
What's your favorite Pink Floyd album?
Dark Side of the Moon.
You have to forgive me. I'm sorry. I'm a little jet-lagged. Just got back from my trip to Kenya.
It's always nice going home.
All All right, all right.
Actually, my dentist was just down in Africa. He said he'd bring me back a souvenir, something beautiful, classy, and endangered, a beautiful thing.
No. Look, there you go again. You're just doing it. The internet is going to have a field day with you. You're going to wake up after the debate, and they're going to be making jokes. They're going to be using your picture for memes. Everything you say is going to be auto-tuned.
That's where you're wrong, Mr. President. This is the type of leadership you're lacking. The only way to handle these internet auto-tuners is to beat them to the punch. I'm going to put you on speaker. I still got you?
You got me.
I decided to auto-tune my entire debate. Check this out.
Hillary Clinton was the worst Secretary of State.
That is so messed up. Do it again.
Fine, one more, but then I gotta go.
Oh, I think that I found myself a cheerleader.
That is great. Hold on, let me put you on speaker. Let me try.
And she is always right there when I need her.
That is totally YouTubeable.
Let's do it.
Ooh, I think that I found myself a cheerleader. She is always right there when I need her. Ooh, I think that I found myself a cheerleader.
All right, it's Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth on Sunday. Come on, that was entertaining. I love when, you know, when the entertainment business is taking the time to make fun of the politician, and they're so on the dot. You know, Hollywood always is good, and the, you know, TV program are fantastic, and we have one of the brightest in America, Bill Maher now as our next segment. But this is like a real discussion. Let's listen to this.
But I tell you something, of all the racists, I think, in the Republican Party, you know who the worst one is? Donald Trump. Donald Trump. Yes, and I'll tell you why. Donald Trump sued me last year for $5 million. Do you know that? Yes. And here's how this came about. Donald Trump thinks we have a feud because he won't do my show. As if I could give a fuck if that moron did my show. We have a feud because he became a presidential candidate. Now you're on my turf. And not just a presidential candidate, a one-issue candidate. All about how Obama was illegitimate as a president. Remember he was sending his investigators to Hawaii? Who were finding amazing things? Yeah, like the price of the Mai Tais in the hotel bar. And what an idiot our boss is to send us here on an expense account. Amazing things. Yeah, we're still waiting for those results. Anyway, so after Obama releases his long-form birth certificate, Trump goes to, well, now I want to see his college records. You know, because a black guy getting into college, something fishy about that, all right? So he offers the president of the United States, real class, $5 million to release his college records, so I offered Donald Trump, yes, on the air, $5 million, if he could prove that he was not the love child of his mother and an orange-haired orangutan. Wait. Not for no reason, because we showed with pictures that there are only two things in nature that have that exact same color hair, Donald Trump and an orange-haired orangutan. And this dummy releases his birth certificate and sues me and goes to the press and turns what was a one-night, one-joke gag into a three-month national debate over whether his mother fucked an ape. He is not a bright man, so... I am not going to say another word about Donald Trump. All right, I'm going to say one more thing about Donald Trump. No, one more thing, but it's not even really about him. I'm just using him to ask a moral question. Are you ready for a moral question?
Yeah.
You sound like a great crowd. Are you ready for a moral question?
Yeah.
Great, here it is. It's 1956. You're in the locker room at Penn State. You see a 10-year-old Donald Trump walking into the showers with Jerry Sandusky. Do you save Jerry? A moral question, ladies and gentlemen. Now, look, I tell you something. I understand why Donald Trump votes Republican. I understand why anyone in the top 1% of wage earners votes Republican. They represent you perfectly. Anybody else who votes Republican are just one of corporate America's useful idiots.
That's true.
Okay. Sorry, one more thing. Now that Rachel Dolezal claims there is no biological proof that she is the daughter of her white parents, Donald Trump must insist that she produce her birth certificate. And Don, speaking of producing your birth certificate, I know things got kind of crazy when you filed that lawsuit against me, but we never really did clear up that issue of who your biological parents are.
Hey, by the way, I see you going ahead with this lawsuit against me.
Oh, well, let me explain.
No.
You know, that's another one. This guy gets on, and I don't know what it is. He spoke so horribly. You know, I had a father who actually was a very handsome, dashing guy.
I remember your dad.
Oh, yeah. He was a best-looking guy. And he was a builder in Brooklyn.
Right.
And he was a good guy, you know, smart guy and a good guy. And I learned a lot from my father. And believe me, he was so proud and all that stuff, you know, because he never believed. He never wanted to come into Manhattan because he said, oh, that's not my territory. But he was just a good professional and a great guy and a handsome guy and a beautiful mother. But my mother was 5'11". And Robin, that was a long time ago. You didn't have people 5'11".
Right.
You know, my mother was a beauty. So anyway, I don't know how I turned out, but, you know, not so bad. Some people would say, not bad. Anyway, the ones that liked me. This guy comes out, and he went viciously out of nowhere. Jay Leno says, what about Trump? I said, what's he asking about me for? What do I have to do with this guy? I know nothing about him, Bill
right.
Maher. Except that he has asked me to be on his show for 2 years.
Right.
Please go on my show, or however long. Please go on my show. And by the way, I would have done it. I have nothing against him or his show or anything else. I mean, I don't agree with his point of view, but I have not. I would have done. But it's hard in terms of doing it, Howard. You know, finding the time and everything else. And I've been with you a long time. If you and I have been friends a long time. If you would have asked me to go to your studio and all, I would have done that too. Okay. So what happened, it's just too tough. So
right.
I didn't do a show. So all of a sudden he gets upset that I won't do a show.
Right.
And he starts hitting me with stuff. And I didn't care. But then he's on Jay Leno and he made this offer, a stupid offer about, you know, this and that. And he said, I will give Donald Trump $5 million if he can prove this and that. So I said, wow. And he didn't say, I'm joking, I'm this, I'm that.
Right.
He said, and the money can go to charity. So I'll give him $5 million, and the money will go to charity. He didn't say, I'm only kidding, Jay.
Right, he said that your parents were part orangutan or something.
They're orangutan, and right. You know, this and that, okay. And he said, I will give him $5 million. So I immediately, the following day, unlike Obama, by the way, you know, I had my birth certificate right at hand. I was able to get it within 9.2 seconds.
Right.
So I sent him the birth certificate or whatever documentation. And we said, as per your offer, we hereby accept, and here's the documentation. And please send my charities. I listed five charities, good ones, Federation of Jewish Philanthropies and different ones, okay? Dana-Farber Cancer, you know, et cetera, right? Sandy Victims. So I said, please send the check, and I will send them out, distribute it to five. And he didn't answer.
So you're suing him.
And press asks him about it, didn't answer. So I felt I had an obligation. I don't know if I'm going to win or lose it. You know, I mean, you know, strange
thing. I don't know either. I mean, in a way, technically, he did say
it was unconditional. He didn't say, like, hey, I was only, even after the case, like, after he said it, he didn't say, Jay, I was only.
Right. We are back because, listening to Donald Trump for real, it's a little boring after a while because I don't like gossip. And whatever he or she said, it's really none of my business, and I really don't care for that. So my president, the leader of the free world, needs to be, with incredible rhetoric. I talked about that I dotted and the T crossed, not that way, like they have the new coming and talking about the precision. We want somebody that can talk. Turkey. We want the Ronald Reagan of the world right now. And we want the JFKs of the world. The people that, that America had and we lost from, tragedy when they were putting all their life on the line for the mankind. And it happens again and again everywhere because every time you see a president get killed, it's because he was doing something that broke the status quo. So it happens in Israel too. We had Robin, God bless his soul, that got killed when he was about to enter in peace accord. I don't know why they killed them. I can't believe they did that. They ruined Israel for so many years, and it wasn't from hate because they couldn't hate that guy. There was nothing hateable on that guy. He was nice. He was a great soldier. He was a great commander and great chief. And for some reason, people say, the religious hated. It's impossible. The problem is that there are people that run the show from a different section. You see, let's talk, and while talking to me, I can tell you that in our privacy, because who's listening? Me, you, and whatever. We have to understand those people that run the show. We know they exist in every country. The idea is how we can come to some kind of agreement, an arrangement. Because if we're going to start blowing up everybody after, if somebody comes out and say something and the other one doesn't like it, it's not going to end up good. We want people who can deliver for the well-being of the world. And, on our last show, we got interrupted. And twice. Internet disconnection, I don't know. I don't know. It was on a really tricky element. So I want to say that if you guys listening, and you have to understand, I'm playing it cool here, and I'm not, by all means, I don't touch anything that has domains of anything that will create any movement of some sort. I just want to have the clear voice for humanity and for mankind under God. And I know that many people someplace want to challenge me about God, and I have a problem with that. And I'll get upset, yes, because looking outside, seeing the great world, seeing the trees and seeing the sky and amazing stars and the universe and the oceans and the waves, and to think that that it's all mankind, or the creation is just a fluke. Sometimes I don't want to call it stupid because it is stupid. For anybody to tell me, I know that there is, I know they don't know everything. And anybody who's smart enough, anybody who actually went to school knows that he cannot know everything. So it's basic routine, and I'm so sorry about these people that I get in the midst of all and had some problem. We're going to attach it after that. Let's listen to some Israeli music, and he'll get some time to reflect. It's Sunday for the Christianity, so it's an important day for them to reflect. And but for the Jewish people, it's every day is a reflection day. Always, not of course the Christian all the world, but as far as Sunday goes, it's a working day. So we need to reflect on that too. Let's listen to the music, and we'll be right there back.
But some feelings, that is all dark kicked up. It's been raining since you left me.
Okay, this was the Israeli singer singing in English. So just to let you know, they know to sing in English too. And even in Hollywood, we have beautiful, beautiful actors that, you know, make a great Fast and Furious, I think. And, you know, we had Bar Raffaele was the girlfriend of the Gatsby, the great Gatsby guy, who, DiCaprio. Anyway, let's listen to some real stories about what I wanted to tell you about Jerusalem. And we're going to make it all in a row. So listen to this. I'm going to give you back. I'll get back to you at the end of the last one. All right? So let's get to the first one.
Officials here in Jerusalem are furious at the BBC over what they say is more evidence of the news network's anti-Israel bias. On its Olympic Games website, the BBC is refusing to call Jerusalem the capital of Israel. All the other internationally recognized nations on the BBC's list have a capital heading followed by a name, but in the case of Israel, Jerusalem is described as, quote, a seat of government. And that's after a change was already made. When the BBC first posted Israel's country profile, Jerusalem was not in the information box. It was a country listed without a capital. Here's where the critics say the BBC's undeniable political bias showed up on their Olympic page for Palestine. On a country that still does not exist, the BBC chose to give Palestine a, quote, capital, calling it East Jerusalem. Israeli officials were incensed, accusing the BBC of pushing their own political position, discrimination against Israel, and misinformation.
Palestine does not yet exist. I understand that BBC would like it to be otherwise. I would also like for Palestine to exist, but right now it doesn't, and it doesn't yet have a capital. One day it will, and East Jerusalem will be its capital.
The week, this was on Wednesday, listen.
Jerusalem will remain the capital of Israel, and it must remain undivided.
Must remain undivided. Matto is here as well, focusing on big speech-making down at AIPAC again today here in Washington, the pro-Israel lobby. Your headline tonight, Rachel.
My headline tonight, David, is that Barack Obama appears to be running on GOP turf. Common wisdom for a long time has been that national security and war and foreign policy are where Republicans like to be, and that Democratic candidates, especially at the national stage, have been advised to sort of change the subject. Barack Obama is turning that on its head. Listen to some of what he said this morning at AIPAC.
Just as we are clear-eyed about the threat, we must be clear about the failure of today's policy. We knew in 2002 that Iran supported terrorism. We knew Iran had an illicit nuclear program. We knew Iran posed a grave threat to Israel. But instead of pursuing a strategy to address this threat, we ignored it and instead invaded and occupied Iraq.
This seems to be where Barack Obama feels most comfortably politically, and that is maybe changing the Democratic game plan on issues of national security. What I'm going to be watching for is to see if some of the down-ticket Democrats around the country pick up the national security line that Obama is leading with, and they start running with it as well.
Shalom. My name is Ron Huldai, and I am the mayor of Tel Aviv. The city of Tel Aviv is one of the coolest cities in the world. We are Israel's financial center and cultural center. But there is one thing we are not. We are not Israel's capital. Jerusalem is Israel's capital. It became the capital 3,500 years ago. For centuries, Jews all over the world hoped to go back to the Holy Land and would pray to be next year in Jerusalem. I want to wish all of our friends in Great Britain successful Olympic Games. When the games are over, I wish to invite you all to visit Tel Aviv. Here you will enjoy our sun, beaches, clubs, pubs, restaurants, museums and galleries, and the warm hospitality of the people of Tel Aviv. And when you are done, you are welcome to visit historic and religious sites of the capital of Israel, Jerusalem.
All right. That was Ron Huldai, the mayor of Tel Aviv. What a good, great, great guy. I ran into him and asked him to build, what about our train? I asked him. Sure enough, he's building the train for finally after, the only one who had actually the guts with the Minister Katz to build it. It's amazing to hear him talking about Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and the president to talk about Jerusalem from one perspective. Then, of course, the pressure made him change it, but it doesn't matter. I'm not going to tell you that he didn't say that or he didn't change his version. And then we have the story about the BBC that had it denied as Israel capital. Now let's look at the fact. We have Jerusalem in the Bible written. We all, it's the most popular book in the world, the Bible. And it's written that Jerusalem is the, of course, all the goody tissues will say, oh, we took it over from someplace. Well, that's where our life goes, Mexico, owns Texas. So what do you want to say, that Texas actually occupied? The U.S. occupied Texas? Come on, get a grip. We actually have the title on the land. And the title did not give Jerusalem to anybody. In 181, he actually declared a corpus separatum Jerusalem. It was international. I'm going by the book. I'm going by the legal status of Jerusalem. I'm not inventing it. Said, okay, this is my Bible. I know that in the Bible it's written that it was the kingdom of David that actually declared Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. It already gave us, the facts, and we have historic paper in this. We owned it 3,000 years ago, and if you think that there were somebody else before that, please tell them to come show us, but they didn't build much of that, because every time the Jews were gone, it was destroyed. So it means that the Jews, in their hands of the Jews, explored. It's like the special key of the universe. It can open sesame only to the Jews. It's not this devastation, because that's the way. It's like everything that happens to you, it's like your loved one, your child, your people, your thing. It's open to you only because it's yours. And the rest is open the same to others. It's not, nobody takes away from anything. But now to decide that Jerusalem does not belong to Israel, it's purely mean. I'll say it. It's mean. Why? You know why it's mean? Because Jerusalem is holy city. It's a place where God should have his kingdom in the universe. In the holiness. We're not talking about something we can create for God. God is, you cannot touch or anything. It's just, you have to understand that we need a space for it. And once you decide, you in the United Nations, or you, whoever, that not to declare, even the Christian that don't declare Jerusalem and, capital of Israel, they are denying the God of Israel. And every time you deny God of Israel, it's fine for you to understand your way but you do deny God of Israel. And we want to call it a quits on this one. Because every time I hear a friend that says, you know, God does not, please, I got my God and I love him dearly. And you please give honor to my wishes to respect my own God. People worship so weird things. Stones they worship, and nobody allowed to touch them. And now you're telling me that the God of Israel, that, you know, Jerusalem is the capital. So there is not any Palestinian state. And that, you know, Mrs. Wilf, which was wrong in our segment. I picked up the BBC denial of Jerusalem as a part. Her Wilf, you know, that, you know, God forbid she even discuss about dividing Jerusalem, and people in the world say, you know, maybe we should send her as a messenger to what? To divide Jerusalem? You can't divide Jerusalem. Jerusalem is one entity, and you need to build it. You need to build it. It's like you can't divide Washington. You can't divide Rome. You cannot divide Paris, you cannot divide London. Why not? Why not? The Palestinian tomorrow will declare London as their zone. Oh no, they not London, Spain. They said they're gonna declare Spain, right? It's theirs. So every day they decide that, you know, the boogeymen, because those are boogeymen, because nothing with the truth. They don't go and take your money and build something for their children. They go and destroy your thing. That's your money working for your best. And you, if you ask, where is the money gone? To the terrorists. You all in the world gave the money to the terrorists, and instead of feeding the children, take care of them, making sure you have, well, you know, UNRWA did try to do that, but then they've been forced to hold some missile for Hamas while doing so. Nothing I can do about it, but I know that they are a little corrosive when they start. So what happened? So let's start making sense. Declaration of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, it's a must. That's to come. You guys decided that Iran can have a nuclear weapon. Okay, you guys, so we have to trust you. Okay, let's trust you. Show me a goodwill. And you want to give me weapons instead to defend yourself? Like, you want to fund more war? I'm not sending the kids to war. You guys have, I got a senator. I love you, Senator Graham, but you're sending more troops to the region? Okay, so how are we going to explode? We got an F-16 landing in Turkey. Turkey, bye-bye, Turkey. Is that what it is? So you're telling us that we need more weapon? No, I don't want more weapon. I got $3 billion weapon. I need money for students, for school, and I need money to build Jerusalem. Or, you know what? Let me have Jerusalem to build the space. And with the, you know, coalition together of the Arabs, cohabitants of the ones, I'm not saying, I don't take anything from them. I want to make it beautiful. But stop telling us that we're occupying it. It's like a disaster. What are you guys doing? You're creating a war. You want us to create a war. No way. This is over. You gave Iran the capability. I want the capability to build Jerusalem. We need to have, you know why? Because I need to pray to God so hard now that crazy man in Iran won't push the button. How do you like that? I need my space for my God. And this is all in Israel. And this is, you know, it's almost over our time from the Holy Land, but this is Sunday, and this is the Israeli time that we have today. And we pray together that we're going to have a wonderful, wonderful, you have a wonderful weekend in America, and we're going to have a quiet evening here. And tomorrow we're going to talk about some more about the status of Jerusalem. We're going to analyze some paperwork. Okay, let's make the trace of Jerusalem. Let's make a plan. And if anybody wants to put, you know, his two pennies in the show, I'll be happy. If you have a problem, please, please, just remember, we're holding the Bible, 2,000 year of history, and every Christian knows that. And it's, you know, and this is the way that you are. And the Jews are, you know, they're worshiping Jerusalem, and we're praying for Jerusalem forever. So you guys want to give us something to, you know, to relax our heart, move the embassy to Jerusalem. Yeah, why not? Well, all the embassy, not the American. I want the Italian. I want the English, and I want the Australian, and I want the Canadian. Stop talking to us so much. Just stop talking and do. Just do. Let's build Jerusalem, you know, make it a beautiful building everywhere. I see Rome, and I see Paris, and I see all this beautiful, humongous building, and I need to build one in Jerusalem like that. And you guys are telling me I cannot build? Or, you know, the shack, the build on a hill, that's a building? Give me a break. I want a building. I want a huge, huge castle to build in Jerusalem to make it incredible. Now, you want to think that you are going to take over Jerusalem in one form or another? Think again. It's not happening, right? Not in this one. So let's assume that in the next 50 years we're going to still control Jerusalem. Well, get a grip. It's forever, but let's assume. So in your time as a politician, you can have the difference. You can make a difference for the rest of the time being, and it will be written all over. This is the time of change in the Middle East. Everybody's moving to Jerusalem because it's the place of holiness, and we are together as humanity. You're talking about United Nations. We are talking about everyone coming together. Here right now we have embassies, Tel Aviv, Herzliya, Ramat Aviv. What is it? You guys are for real? Do you think that an embassy in a mall can be considered embassy? Or you forget what diplomacy is all about, like Donald Trump. No wonder about that. All right, guys, let's finish up. We're wrapping up with a great music. I love you all. And there is always God of Israel here in the Holy Land. And I bless you. And I hope that you have a fantastic weekend. God bless you. God bless you all. And you're here tomorrow. Bye-bye.
אני לא רוצה להיות מי שהייתי רוצה לזוז, לצאת, להשתנות תקוע בטעות של מישהו אחר רוצה חבר